see different possibilities which are out there. And then it opens your mindset, because there is no one way, no right answer for this topic.
Welcome to Get Inspired, your podcast to feel connected, empowered, and inspired by real-world role models and their stories of managing parenthood with successful careers. Today's guest is Bettina Alsadek-Lewinsky, who has just published a book about her research on approaches to parenthood among women in top leadership positions in five very different countries. For more, I'm going to hand over to the host of this podcast, Ricarda Engelmeier, founder of My Collective, to introduce Bettina and kick off the conversation.
Bettina, welcome to My Collective. I'm really excited that you're here with us. So Bettina Alsadek-Lewinsky is with us tonight, and your background is in the pharma industry. And you lived for a long time in China and worked also as an executive coach. But you also published a couple of books. And the first one, the title was How Chinese Women Rise. And I find this really interesting. And you were sharing, when we were talking before, you were sharing that this was actually part of your PhD thesis. And at that time, you were 4 years older than your PhD doctor father, which I think is really great. And you were sharing, and I hope it's okay with you if I share this here, that you said, this is how I want to do the PhD, and this is where I want to go. And it seems like you really know where you want to go, which is great to have at any age, I have to say. But you didn't stop there. You actually moved on, also moved back to Europe, to Paris, and published another book called Women in Top Management. In German, the German title is Der Aufstieg der Top-Managerinnen. And you basically look at not only Chinese women, but you're also comparing managers in five different countries. And this is what I would like to talk to you about today, because I'm really intrigued to see what you've learned from this comparison and what kind of career patterns you've been able to observe in this. So welcome to this session.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. And I think your topic is very, very important for all women, but also for men, of course, who are fathers. And this is why I'm very happy to participate tonight. And I think it's a topic when we look at motherhood and family and career, which is very close to our personal values and our upbringing and individual, but also collective ideas of motherhood and parenting. And this makes it so interesting, but also complex, of course. And we have different situation in different countries.
Yes, yes. So, okay, let's start right there. So different situation, different countries. You've looked at five different countries. What were those countries? And you've probably observed a lot of differences in terms of career pattern. What I would like to know is, what is the career pattern difference for mothers specifically? Can you share a little bit on that?
Yes, so I choose five countries who are representing the upper end and the lower end of women participation in top management. And these were China, Japan, Russia, Germany, and France. Also because I had access to the right women there. And in this qualitative global research, I interviewed 110 female top managers, and I selected them. So they had to be in C-level or in the executive teams of their companies. And interestingly, that's the first thing, over 80% are mothers. So this is really in contrast to other research.
That quite a high number, I would say.
Yeah, no? Yeah. And I was also, when I started analyzing and calculating and all that, surprised, because usually in Germany, we have an opposite picture. We would have, in this target group, 75% of the women being singles and not mothers. So mm-hmm. It's... It might be a coincidence, because Germany was part of this international comparison, but also in the German group, the same picture. So if we go deeper here, Chinese and Japanese women had one or two children. So even in China, as you might know, for many years now, women can have more than one child. So the average was one or two children. Then in Germany and Russia, the ladies had roughly two children. And the French group was leading with two, three, or even four children.
Okay, interesting. I mean, given the fact that actually now, in the last month, it was announced in the newspapers that Now in Germany, you have a rising birth rate. It's the first time that it's actually rising. So maybe we're going in the same direction. Okay, so that's about the number of children you have. But what in terms of what were their career patterns? How did that look like?
Well, let me summarize a little bit. So the first result of the research, and as I explained already, for me, it was interesting that women top managers can also be mothers. Because in Germany, we hear, well, that's not possible, or it's really, really difficult. But here in this research globally, I have shown that, women can have both, and it's working. And the women told me that they believe it's a very individual decision which each woman has to make. So only each woman herself can answer how much she wants to achieve in her career, how far she wants to go, and if she really believes that combining a career and motherhood is her own target, and then that means it's possible for her. So it has to do a lot with our own view on motherhood, because in each country I also gave an overview on the laws, the equality laws, but also motherhood supporting systems which the government in each country put in place. And I mean, if we again look at Germany, of course we are very influenced by our history. And looking back to the Second World War and the image that mothers had. So, yeah. And the second result that I found then here, but I have found many results, but the ones that I picked for you is I really looked into the career pattern of these successful women, and I identified five types in my typology. I will not explain everything because that's too complex, but Western research usually shows only one career type for women. And this one is characterized by careers with breaks and lateral moves, because mothers include, of course, family constraints in their decision making, at least in the Western part of the world. Now, in my analysis, again, because I had Russia, I had Japan, I had China, this type that I call the stop and go women, with the breaks and then they go again. In my result, they count only for 17% of all the female top managers. So the others follow different career pattern, which had nothing to do with family constraints or so on. They had different markers that were more important in their career pattern. So for me, that was interesting to show. And then we have zero women, no women in the German subgroup and in the Japanese subgroup. So why is that so? I can only make a hypothesis on that, because this would need to be verified in a larger study then. But what I think about it is, what could be the reason is that in Germany and Japan, due to the societal norms and stereotypes in these countries, it is so, so different for women that if they choose the stop and go career pattern, they will never make it to C-level.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because we are actually talking about parental leave quite a bit, which is, so to say, the stop and then go, as in the return. And in your research, as I understand it, it shows that none of the group has actually gone for this. Okay, well, that's interesting. Not so encouraging, though. But you are tracing it back to the society, as in, does this relate to the whole thing of a Rabenmutter and the Nazi image of sort of motherhood? Or is there more to it?
I would say, because it's these two countries who are at the lower rank of the international comparison with women in top management. So in Germany, and then even more in Japan, I would say societies are still very mother-centric. I mean, I know in the chats and in the networking groups, we don't like to hear that. And things are advancing in Germany more than in Japan. In Japan, they are also trying a lot of things, but there it's even more manifested. So, for example, Japanese women would go out of the work field when they have their first child for at least 7 years. But, you know, I remember my first company in the pharmaceutical, you still had contracts where you could leave for 7 years.
Okay, but then if we talk about stop and go, I mean, 7 years is a different kind of thing than what we do in Germany in terms of parental leave that mostly is taken around 1 year plus minus a couple of months, right? So, okay, so that's the picture that you've observed. Now, there has been a drastic change in the last 2 or 3 years and with the COVID kind of sort of change that had happened with new work coming in. So there were a couple of, or there were a lot of new fluid, innovative work models that actually entered the market and made things possible that were impossible before. I mean, a couple of companies who always thought traveling needs to be done from Monday morning, 5 a.m. to Thursday evening, 10 p.m. And now all of a sudden, it's not necessary anymore. The same thing is about actually innovative work models such as shared leadership or leadership in part-time. Did you also observe this? Or what was your take on those kind of work models?
Well, my research was done before the pandemic, of course. Mm-hmm. And you have to see the age span of, as I interviewed top women managers, they were around 45 to 55 years old. So yeah, you can see when they started. So it's a while ago, but it shows you the reality at that moment. And in my research, there were no innovative work models in none of the interviews mentioned. So some women, of course, said that they had supportive bosses, very often women, and they were tolerant when they had to leave for their kids, for doctor appointments and so on. And of course, there are different rules in place in each country for maternity leave. So in China, it's very short. Then in Germany, it's quite long. In France, women would go back earlier. So Germany is probably, with Japan, the country where we discuss this when we talk about women and career. So mostly there were no new work models in place in the research and reported by the women, which doesn't mean that now we have seen in the corona pandemic, I think we saw two consequences on working mothers. And the first one was for sure more flexibility with working from home. But at the same time, all this double burden when the kids had to stay home, no? Which we hopefully in the future will not see. So I certainly believe that more flexible work models will support mothers, but also fathers in the future. The question now is that relevant for a career that goes into C-level? And here I think we could debate. Because same as for men, so far, I I'm talking in a lot of networking groups and I'm coaching in a lot of companies worldwide and I hear a lot of things, but so far I cannot see it. I see...
What can you not see? You can't see the double career or you can't see that these innovative working models for women to get to the top level?
Well, as I said, in my research, there was no innovative working model reported, first thing. And for the dual career couples, and I know there is research going on in that direction, in my group, there was a small group where both partners conducted a career. Actually, most of the women had a supportive spouse. So we had turned or twisted roles in the couple where he would have a more normal job or stays at home or work part-time and she does the career.
Yeah, which I, at least from my perspective, don't really find a very innovative model because that's just switching roles, right? And that's basically the traditional sort of setup, just gender, sort of the gender switch. But I mean, that's interesting. So the verdict, I guess, is still out. I mean, what I would also be interested in is this shift that we've seen here in Europe and in the US in terms of going towards new work and these working models, does that happen in Asia as well? And do we stay competitive with these working models that we are going for?
Well, in China, what I have observed, they have a working culture that would at least allow mothers to leave earlier, because the whole country is, like, for example, I would compare it to France. In France, you have an evening culture in business. So you have to be there endless. You have to be there for dinners. You have to be in the company. You have to be seen until 9 o'clock in the evening, women and men. In China, it's very, very common that if you have a dinner, business dinner, it will start at 6 and it finishes at 8 and then everybody leaves. It's like really, because they have such a high number of women working in middle but also in upper management, that probably that was a result here. And then, of course, you have in the big cities, you have long commuting to go home. Yeah. So really work models where you would say, I would say that, of course, you had these models that you could work from home, flexible, yeah, but job sharing models where on a C-level two persons share the job, I've not seen in this research.
I mean, even in Germany, that's coming up only now. So the question is really, do you need to wait until something is already established or from a society, from a sort of a legal perspective given? Or is there something that you can do yourself? So our audience are mainly young women, young men in parental leave or post-parental leave. And that is, is there something that you think they should do or could do to actually prepare for it? Because I guess that you can actually also be proactive about this, these career steps.
Yes, I think if we take it like it is today, yeah, and we would assume we have to live with reality, and a woman wants to go to top management, I think she still has to organize around this reality with her partner, or both have to do it. Once these new models would be in place, and really it would mean that every company in our country, it becomes a norm, it becomes normal, then we can discuss what effect did it have. But we are far from that. It's a wish thinking, it's a good thinking, and we are trying to have more of these models in the future. What I would say the best advice is, I want to quote some of the Chinese women here, and they said to me when I asked them, so how is that with work balance and with the family? They said, well, I'm not looking for balance. I knew what I wanted, and I wanted my career, and I organized around it. And the one crucial point here is these women don't have a bad conscience around motherhood and about how much time do they have to be with their children. For them, that's even a question where they would look at me and say, what are you talking about? Nobody here has half a day with their kids. It's not our norm. And I love my job. And for me, it's fine to be so and so much time for my child. When we say that in Germany, it's and in Japan, of course, I don't think that's something that we really want. And I think we should be honest with it. And then comes the next question. Can companies then shape a reality around this wish that many young people now have to work only part-time or to work 80%? And still go into C-level? I can't answer that today.
Yes, I know. The verdict is still out. I mean, this week we received the message that one of our participants has actually managed to be the first sort of, to have the first leadership in a shared position, a job sharing, and a leadership position in a DAX company. And so I guess you need to be the role model, and you might still be alone and the verdict is still out. But I think it's about the individuals who actually change things and actually make change happen. So I think it's interesting the kind of path that we're going on.
Or we look into a former East Germany and the idea of how working moms organize themselves was very differently. So I would advise people to start with these questions early. probably even before they marry, with their partner, and then seek for advice and get coaching on it and see different possibilities which are out there. And then it opens your mindset. And then later you choose, because there is no one way, no right answer for this topic.
Yeah, and you're very right, involving all the included stakeholders. And that's not only your boss and your partner, but that's also you yourself in terms of what you think is right for you. Bettina, thank you so much for giving these insights. Thank you much for your time. And if you still have some time, it would be great if you stay for a little bit of discussion with us. And here for this podcast, I would like to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for being here.